Hey y'all, I'm going to take a look at Luke chapter 10 and the scene with Mary and Martha. Luke 10:38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So this scene is pretty famous, and it's a scene that only occurs in Luke, just like the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I think these two stories should probably be read in light of one another. In other words, they help us understand, or each story sheds light on the other story. A few things about the background. This is probably during the Feast of Booths. So this would have been a very important religious feast, and I might compare it to a Christmas dinner or a Thanksgiving dinner in terms of the preparations that would have gone into it. So we can expect that this is Mary's house, and she's got a lot to do. And she's doing that, and she's serving, and she's received Jesus, which is all things that are commendable and that the Gospels themselves commend. But obviously, the story wants to teach us something more. Women also, it's worth noting, are not allowed to sit at a rabbi's feet at this time. In other words, they're not allowed to be a disciple of a rabbi. But here, Jesus has Mary sitting at his feet, and he doesn't rebuke her. In fact, he kind of praises her for being able to be sitting there and being and wanting to sit there and learn from Jesus. She's doing what God said at the Mount of Transfiguration to the three disciples. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." She's doing that. And she wasn't there at the Transfiguration to hear that voice. She senses, she knows that Jesus is significant. And we should also remember that most of the time in the Gospel of Luke, we see Mary at Jesus' feet. It is Mary, after all, who anointed his feet. And so this is a kind of a theme with Mary. She is at Jesus' feet, and that is the place for disciples to sit at his feet and learn from him and listen to him. And so Martha, you know, rebukes her sister and asks Jesus to rebuke her. We might almost imagine this being how some people pray for some people. And Jesus' rebuke here is important. First of all, he says, "Martha, Martha." I think there's a note of affection in that. I don't think this is an angry rebuke. It's a loving rebuke, but nonetheless, a readjustment of Martha's perspective. And it's worth noting, he says, "Listen, you're distracted by many anxieties. You have a lot of things you're worried about." I think he's commenting in part on the way she's carrying her responsibilities. In the Gospel of Luke, at several turns, Jesus comments on how anxieties can distract from hearing the word. In the parable of the sower, one of the things that chokes out the hearing of the word is anxieties, along with pleasures of this world. And Jesus seems to be warning us that we need to watch anxiety in our lives and make sure it's not keeping us from being able to hear the word and prioritizing discipleship. And he says that, look, there's many things that you're preoccupied with, but one thing is necessary, or one thing is the priority, and that is hearing the word. That has got to come first. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, yes, food is necessary, but the most fundamental necessity of human life is hearing God's word and learning to do it. And I think that there is probably a hint in here that, as Paul says, Christians are seated in heavenly places with Christ. And in some sense, we need to learn to live out our mundane, day-to-day, earthly life from that seated position of identity with Christ, of learning from him. That there's got to be this fundamental rootedness that comes in our life from a place of saying, "Lord, you know all things. I want to learn from you. I want to follow you." Maybe another way of saying it is some people have seen Mary as the contemplative, the one who's sort of mystical and prays and studies, and Martha as the active one, and they've sort of seen them as opposite poles. I think probably we should see them as the rhythm of the Christian life, but with this key difference, that all our activity should come from a place of being seated at his feet. All of our serving and doing needs to come from a place of trust and obedience and openness to him. I think if we were to comment on how this scene interacts with the prior parable of the parable of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite were preoccupied with temple duty, didn't want to make themselves unclean with a potentially dead body, and so they avoided that. And in so doing, they missed the presence of God and the weak and lowly that was in their midst that they could have served. Well, in this scene, Martha is preoccupied with hospitality, but she misses that the one for whom all hospitality is given, the Lord Jesus himself, is right there in the midst, and that really that should be the underlining activity going on all around. Finally, I think it's worth noting that, remember, Luke is a two-part book. It's Luke and Acts. Luke writes part one, the life, the ministry of Jesus, and part two, the activity of the Holy Spirit in the church. And in that book, in Acts 16, we see Lydia in Philippi, who we see her first sitting and listening to Paul, and then welcoming Paul into her home and serving Paul and his companions. And so I think that we see her as an exemplar of kind of getting the order right, of coming from a place of learning and receiving, and then acting out of that learning. Finally, I would suggest that something similar is going on when Jesus goes around to wash the disciples' feet, and Peter kind of gets bent out of shape that, Lord, you're not going to do that. I think our lives have to be lived from that foundation of sitting at his feet and receiving from him first, and then living our life out of doing after he teaches us. And our lives have got to kind of be lived in this rhythm of ascending to be seated with the Lord and learn from him, and then going and walking out of what we've learned and received from him in love. So may we take the better part, the better portion, the best meal. May we feast on the Word of God so that we can be nourished by it and do all of our doing that is very important out of that discipleship. Amen.